Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Despite the heroic sacrifices of thousands of educators, North Carolina public schools are hurting. Sadly, that's what happens when state lawmakers repeatedly cut per-pupil funding, let go thousands of employees, allow facilities to crumble, and class sizes to soar. Given this backdrop, it's little surprise that thousands of school teachers and education supporters are coming to Raleigh on May 1 as a follow-up to last year's highly successful 30,000-person rally. Recently, I sat down with one of the rally's chief organizers, veteran school teacher and North Carolina Association of Educators President Mark Jewell.
Well, we're delighted to be joined again by our great friend Mark Jewell from NCAE. Thanks for being back with us, Mark.
It is always a pleasure to be here and talk about public education.
Well, that's what we want to talk about, but I thought it might be interesting to our listeners to take a moment and tell them about how the heck you got to this point. You have your own experience in the classroom many years, and now you're leading the Teachers Association in the state.
I am from West Virginia, actually. I graduated in 1987 from Marshall University, taught 10 years there, never thought I would ever leave, and then I lost my job due to layoffs. The economy had downturned there on a state that was reliant on the coal mining industry. So when the coal mine shut down, families started leaving. They took their kids with them, and all I ever wanted to do was teach. So I started watching where everyone was moving to. And everyone was moving to, they were hopping on I-77 South and heading to North Carolina. So I said, I'm going to follow them. And I came here and I started interviewing in July of 1997. You know, that was the time when we were in a five-year investment in public education under Governor Hunt. Right. We were moving towards the national average in educator pay. We were investing in master's degree pay, national board certification pay. But we were also investing in the classroom, small class size, and teacher assistants and after-school tutorial programs and in professional development. I hopped on I-77, came down here, and never turned back because it was such a remarkable place to work and to live. Everything that brought me here in 1997 was pretty much wiped out in 2013. And I tell people, I said, you can't really talk about May 16th last year or May 1 right coming up this year without talking about the summer of 2013 when 5,000 teaching positions were cut, 2,000 teacher assistants, you know, around 300 support specialists were cut, you know, all those things, master's degree eliminated, all those things that brought me and so many educators over here in our world-class systems were wiped out. And then in addition to lowering the corporate tax rate and tax breaks for millionaires, which just leaves about $3 billion on the table every year that should be going to our public schools.
We have seen this remarkable negative shift in recent years. You all had a big march on Raleigh last year in May. It obviously had an impact, and it seems like maybe we've sort of stopped some of the bleeding. But tell us a little bit about where things stand now in the education arena in North Carolina. We still have a long way to go to repair the damage, no?
Sure. It was an incredible day last year on May 16th, you know, when we were thinking about could we get about 1,000 to 2,000 educators to come to Raleigh and say, listen, enough is enough. This is about accountability. We need to make our elected officials, you know, stand up for good policies for public schools. That turned into about 30,000 of our closest friends coming. And it was, you know,
I touched a little nerve.
I couldn't be prouder that it was the largest political activity in some accounts in the history of North Carolina. And it was on behalf of public schools. It was Democrats and Republicans alike. It was business. It was public sector. It was community leaders coming together and saying, this is not right what's happened. We shouldn't have not had a textbook adoption in 15 years. We shouldn't have, you know, 35 kids in our classroom. We shouldn't have a huge crisis teacher shortage in North Carolina. That's not the North Carolina way. And our folks stood up, even though we knew we weren't going to change any policy last year. We knew that we had to change the policymakers. So we took that passion and drove it to the November 6th election. And a historic turnout that we felt was driven by public education broke the supermajority in both the House and the Senate. And I don't want to make it sound partisan because we really don't care if it's a D or R behind your name. But if you're not supporting public education policy, then we need new people to represent us.
I don't think there's any doubt that it had an enormous impact on the election. Now we're going to do it again. Folks are going to be coming back to Raleigh on May 1 and tell us why and what's going to happen then.
That's a very good question. Folks look at it and says, why are you doing this again? And I said, it's, well, you know, the laws haven't changed. Their students are still, our school districts are still starving for resources. We still have a huge teacher shortage crisis and our kids are suffering. And since we changed the policymakers in November, now it's time to change some policy. So we are driving many of the same issues that we had last year. There's a long list of things that really need to be fixed. But of course, we're focusing on five key priority areas this May 1.
Do you want to identify some
of
those five for us?
We're talking about, we're lifting up the fact that we need our support specialists. That's our school counselors, nurses, psychologists, social workers. We currently rank 50th in the nation in how we fund and resource social and emotional health. So we're asking that those be funded to the national standards. We're putting pay up there. We know that we have a huge teacher shortage crisis. And we also have our support staff. Those are our lowest paid workers, our school custodians. We're asking for that they be brought up to the $15 hourly living wage. Most of those individuals just make $20,000 a year. And they have $750 on family health insurance that they have to pay, definitely in the poverty level. And our educators, you know, we're asking for just basic 5% pay increase. Most of our most experienced educators haven't seen a pay increase since the recession. We also, you know, are supporting the expansion of health care in general. We have about 500,000 citizens in North Carolina. Many of them are our students who are coming to school sick. And we're asking for the Medicaid expansion. We also are lifting up the fact that we have this huge teacher shortage crisis, and the General Assembly has decided in 2021 to do away with a benefit, which was called health insurance when you retire, low-cost health insurance, which after you work about 30 years, that you have a low-cost health insurance for yourself once you give service to the state. That is being eliminated in 2021. Did I tell you we have a huge teacher shortage in North Carolina? Okay, right. Let's take away more benefits. And, you know, the fifth priority there is something, again, that the General Assembly of 2013 took away, and that's master's degree pay.
Right.
Prior to 2013, we got a 10% supplement increase if we were had our master's degree. It's one of the reasons I came here. Had they not given me that benefit, I would have probably been in South Carolina and Georgia. About 33 states require it to keep your license. Most of our states surrounding us pay for it, so it's economics for one thing. And you know what? The research does say that it does improve teacher effectiveness and student performance, but it's of no value right now to the current General Assembly.
Some critics have raised the issue of why have this event in May? Why have it in May 1st? Why not wait till after most traditional calendar schools are out?
I tell everyone, I said, listen, we've waited. We've waited for 6 to 8 years. And during that time, we've seen the dismantling of public education as we know it. We've seen resources dry up. We've seen college university systems, college ed programs drop by about 30%. Time is of the essence right now. We have to get involved early into this conversation.
Well, you don't want to do it after the budget's already written.
I mean,
for this year,
right. I mean, what good is it then? I mean, this is obviously, they are just now in these discussions now. You see people actually across party lines talking about master's degree pay, across party line talking about fight for 15 living wage. You also have Democrats and Republicans also talking about Medicaid expansion in the House chamber. So this is about getting folks out there and saying, you know, time is of the essence, and we will lose a generation of students if we don't act now.
One issue that's got a lot of attention early on in the legislative session we haven't heard as much about lately is the issue of school bonds, the issue of our sort of crumbling public school infrastructure, billions and billions of dollars of need. Is that another priority? Is that something NCAA supports?
That's a huge priority. It was last year and is this year. Of course, we have many of our rural districts that haven't passed a school bond since the 1980s.
Right.
And they're going to schools in trailers. They're, you know, the roofs are leaking. And it should have been on the ballot November the 6th. So, of course, we do support it. It's greatly needed. And, you know, with 21st century learning, our kids deserve better than what they're learning in right now.
One last specific issue I wanted to touch on, because I think it's sort of emblematic of the debate that's going on, is this little row we've had lately over classroom supplies. We know that classroom supplies, the budget's down like 55% in recent years for how much we actually spend on classroom supplies, which has just made it even worse for the average rank and file teacher, who we all know they're spending their own cash for their classrooms. The superintendent of public instruction came out and said, I've got a proposal. Let's give each teacher $400, which initially sounded like an interesting idea. But it turned out that the money was going to come from local districts who would just have less of their own money to spend on it. So it's obviously been sort of gone over like a, you know, without much of an excitement from the teaching community.
Yes, yes. You had the big press conference, right? And then you see this, you know, statement coming out. Fine print. Oh, okay. You have the, $40 million that are given for school to the schools for them to spend. That's not very much money at all. By the time it goes to the school level, then they have to distribute. They have to, because they're so short on resourcing, they're having to fill in gaps with that money. Right. And let's say we do give the teachers $400, then what happens with the other supply money? I mean, okay, you don't get toner for your copier, you don't get a printer, you don't, you know, it just makes no sense. Right, you can't buy in bulk. It is a shell game, and, you know, folks didn't fall for it. So the superintendent needs to be out there advocating for more resources for per pupil expenditures. We're currently about 39th in the nation. That's $2,300 per child to how we fund our public schools.
And it's significantly down over where it was a decade ago. Even if you adjust for inflation, we're down with 5 or 6%, something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything is down prior to the recession.
One more time, how will people find out more about the May 1 rally? I mean, it's not right. just teachers. Supporters are welcome and invited
absolutely.
To come as well.
We
parents.
Want the community. I say it's not a Democrat march. It's not a Republican march. It's a North Carolina march. Go to www.nca.org, and you could. There's a link there to register online. We should be starting about 10 o'clock a.m. to march from the NCAE Center up to the General Assembly, but if any indication of last year, get there early.
Mark, thanks for all that you do for our state.
I appreciate you
letting
us talk
about
public education. It's always an honor and privilege.
Coming up next, what does it really take to have a living income in North Carolina? We'll get the answer from one of the state's top experts.